Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Gary Armley inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
I'm just going to ask Becca to play for a few minutes and stay in this amazing atmosphere we're in. Holy Spirit, we're so glad you're here. We welcome you. Holy Spirit, come even stronger as I bring the word and minister to your people. And Lord, I ask that you would release a level of faith in here that we've never known, that we've never, ever known. That even while I bring this word, Lord, people are healed because they're able to reach in and receive what you've so freely given to us. Daddy, I ask that you be glorified and fill in the pieces I don't have, which I'm sure are many. We love you, Lord, in this place. We honor you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And not words enough to express how we feel about you. Thank you, Savior of our souls, for giving us life. Amen. My topic today is the miracle table, the power of communion. Steve Schroeder, on Friday night, began to share about being face-to-face with the Lord. That we're his friends and he's ours. And it's all about affection for God and for us. And for us, affection for one another. David was a man who had that kind of affection for God. God loved being with David. He'd like to hang out with David, and God wants to hang out with each one of us. Yet David was a broken man, and David fell. But the thing that the Father loved about David was his heart of worship. And when he came looking for a king, he said, "This is a man after my heart. He will be king." He was a young lad. But he was a worshiper. And in the end, it's David that established the tabernacle and the place of worship, the tent. And he threw away all tradition and all religion in order to have fellowship, that everybody would be able to come in and fellowship. As I began preparing my message, a couple of weeks ago, actually, the scripture that kept coming was Psalm 23, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And if you were part of the last Thrive group, it was, "Don't give the enemy a seat at your table." And just an amazing, amazing course we took. But here I want to take it in a little bit different direction. In Matthew's account at the Last Supper, he records that as Jesus broke the bread, he blessed it. Matthew 26:26. When Jesus instituted the communion meal, he did it with a blessing. Later, when Paul is describing the drinking of the wine at the Lord's table, he describes the cup as the cup of blessing. 1 Corinthians 10:16. Have we missed something? When I started looking, I thought, Lord, what is this? He broke the bread and he blessed it. And then Paul calls it the cup of blessing. Have we become, because of tradition maybe, have we missed the communion meal as the blessing of God? When we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are eating and drinking that which Christ himself has blessed. Meaning himself. We are receiving the blessing of the Father. In Revelation 3:20 and 21, and it's always quoted as God once brings salvation to somebody, and that may be part of what is happening. But it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." God wants to have fellowship with you and I, but we have to open the door. We have to open the door. He's prepared an incredible table before us. He's provided incredible gifts for us. Communion for them, the Last Supper that we know it as, it wasn't a formal meal. They sat at a table and they laughed and they had fun. And there was a level of intimacy at that table because John had his head on Jesus' chest. That doesn't sound like a church service. They were enjoying each other's company. And in the middle of this meal, Jesus institutes the new covenant, which only later they would understand what it was. In Genesis 27, we have an encounter. No, hang on, I gotta back up. "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." Matthew 26:26. He gives to us and we take. He blesses and we receive. He has done it all. He has spoken the blessing, and he's given us life. And that's abundant life. Now our response is in faith to eat and drink, and in doing so, receive his blessing to appropriate it as ours. In Genesis 27, that's Jacob and Esau. And Jacob wants the blessing of the firstborn. So he puts on clothing and a smell that smells like Esau. And he comes to Isaac looking for the blessing. And this is what Isaac prayed over Jacob. "May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's riches, an abundance of grain," which is bread, "and wine." Genesis 27:28. Later, Esau comes to Isaac and begs for a second blessing. But the response for Isaac is this: "I have sustained him, Jacob, with grain and wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau despised his birthright and sold it for some pottage. Jacob was desperate and wanted it. Went as far as to deceive to get it. Pretty desperate man. "I want that blessing. I've got to have that blessing. I got to have the bread and the wine. I have to have communion. I have to have communion." And for us, I want to say, are we desperate to understand communion for what it really is? Both Jacob and Esau recognized the necessity of having their father's blessing. They knew it was the greatest thing that they could possess. So remember that. The blessing of the father is the greatest thing that these two earthly men could possess. In turn, Isaac recognized that the greatest blessing that he could give his son was an abundance of grain and wine. And this was the foreshadowing of the blessing that we would receive at the communion table. The greatest thing that any of us can receive is the Father's blessing. He loves us completely. He desires to give us his very best. To have his blessing on our lives, our finances, our marriage, our children, our ministries, is the greatest thing we can confess. When the Father says, these are my kids. I want to bless them. I want to bless their finances. I want to bless their marriages. I want to see them have children. I want to see them prosper in the land because their face is set to mine. But we have to appropriate the blessing. We have to go, that's mine. That's mine. I can be selfish. That's mine. I can have those blessings for my family. And when I'm having communion, I can draw on that because it's been freely given to me. God's greatest blessing is found in the communion table, which is his bread, his body, and his wine, the blood. And it all is wrapped around the Son and the fact that he went to the cross to give it to us. In Jesus, every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1:3. And there's no greater blessing than to dine and partake with him. And that was well depicted in the series when it first began with the table that the Lord had spread that Louis Giglio depicted, that we could come. We can come and sit at the table anytime we want to. It isn't just in the church service. Anytime we need to, as often as we need to, we can come and sit at the table of communion and partake. You prepare a table before me. Martha, in the account of Mary and Martha, when Jesus came to their house, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Sorry, my back's not to too many people, but I apologize. So Jesus comes to their house and Martha's scurrying around. We knew the story. She's busy and then she gets angry because Mary's not there. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha felt she had to prepare everything for the feast. But Mary, out of her face-to-face relationship, recognized that Jesus had already made the preparations. Isn't that neat? If Martha had chosen to sit there, God would have let food arrive. Who knows what they would have done? But it was not a concern for Mary. She was looking at Jesus. And what Jesus was giving, she couldn't have prepared because it came from him. It was the blessing. Our job is to sit at his feet and commune with him. And Jesus says Mary has chosen the better part. In Joel 2:19, it says, I'm sending you grain, new wine, and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Notice here that the oil is added on to the communion feast. The oil speaks of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Not only is there a blessing obtained with the blood and or the bread and the wine, but there's also an anointing available to us when we take communion. And that's the anointed one, the Holy Spirit. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Psalm 23:5. When we take communion, are we reaching in for what's available? Are we taking from his hand what's been provided? The oil is there. The Holy Spirit is there. The blessing of the Lord is one element. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ? The Holy Spirit is there to help us reach in to the heavenly realm, the kingdom realm, for what's already been prepared for us. We're living far below the communion table of what's available. There are people who have faith to believe for new limbs, new livers, new hearts. On earth, they can do heart transplants. But isn't it much better just to reach in? Thank you for the new heart, Lord. Thank you. No more cancer. Thank you, Lord. I receive it. That's what we're supposed to be doing during communion. And I have to say, step by step by step, I'm seeing in the Spirit, there's so much more. There's so many rooms. I once received a vision from the Lord where he gave me a set of keys, the Father actually, and he pointed to doors on the wall, and the keys fit in the doors. Got it when we were in Woodsley. And in those rooms were everything that I would need over the duration of my ministry. But in those rooms were organs. In those rooms were healings for people. In those rooms were deliverances for people. In those rooms were financial support to bless people. Those rooms were filled. And he says, when are you going to draw on it? And so over the last couple of years, there's been a pursuit of, Lord, I want to understand communion to the fullness that you meant for it to be. It's not just we do it once a month because that's what the church does. We're not just taking a wafer and drinking some juice. We are actually reaching in to what Jesus has provided for us. As we partake of him, resurrection life pours into us. Eternal life flows, his life flows from him into us, into every need that we have to make us whole. Every heavy yoke that the enemy's tried to put on us is broken as we sit face to face with our Savior, and we receive blessings of freedom, healing, and restoration. He is the anointing of God. It is the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, who leads to bring us knowledge and truth. There's nothing wrong with inner healing when people go for ministry. So hear me. I want to say that up front. And there's room for counseling. I want to say that up front too, so you understand me. But there have been times, many times, over the years, being a minister, being a wife and being a mother, and especially over this last season where I've wanted to run and go for ministry. You know, I thought, God, somebody's got to pray for me. I don't know how to do this. And I'm feeling my nerves starting to get a little raw. And the Lord would say, can I not do it? Can I not do it? Go get the communion cup. Go get some bread. So on a daily basis, I sit with him. The beauty of being less busy, I have the privilege. In fact, Steve stayed at my house, and he says, you know, in this stage in life, I get to sit in the morning. I could spend 3 hours with the Lord, 3-4 hours. Ditto me too. And I sit and I take communion, and it's like, Jesus, make me whole. The nerves that are frayed, Lord, heal. As I take the cup, Lord, cleanse. Little by little, I keep reaching in and pulling it my way because it belongs to me. I don't want to follow statistics. In this season of my life, this is what you do. I want to follow the Holy Spirit and show me how to do this. And when this season is done, I want to come out of that gate with revelation I've gained in this season That's far beyond anything I could have imagined. And the communion table's part of that. In the garden, history began with a man and a woman enjoying communion with God. In the kingdom, everything begins with the Son of God inviting us to the table to partake of him and make covenant with him. It is a place of restoration of all that the Father has provided for us through Jesus. I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty. John 6:35. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Isaiah 55:1. Are we willing to come? Are we willing to come? Come individually, daily, and come corporately in a level of unity that's in this room beyond what we've known. Jesus at the Last Supper states, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you because before I suffer. That's Luke 22:15. This is the last act that Jesus does with his disciples before he dies. You got to look at the last acts and the last words. They're powerful. And the greatest meaning of all. On the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness, huge. He eagerly desired to have communion, intimate fellowship with his friends. The word eagerly is epitumia, if I'm pronouncing it right. And it means to long for, to lust after, the setting of one's affections towards, and setting the heart towards. This is the passion Jesus had to have communion with his disciples. His affections towards them was overwhelming him. That passion is the same for you and I. The Passion translation says, he longed with passion and desire to take communion. He knew he would suffer greatly. He knew his heart was to please the Father and to buy his kids back. And he used a communion table and the cross to do it. He was about to institute the new covenant, one of grace and love with friends and with us. He wanted to have a meal with them, a meal of closeness, friendship, and companionship. The covenant he was about to make with them would bring them into a total oneness with him. These were his closest friends, his best friends. We are his closest friends. We are his best friends. Every one of us say, well, you don't know what I've done. Oh, he's already taken care of that. He loves you. His death on the cross would provide for absolutely everything needed. Ephesians 1:3, everything heaven contains has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from a wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped in Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. By one sacrifice, he has done all that ever would be necessary to meet every one of our needs. Every human being forever will have their needs met if they turn to him, spiritual or emotional or physical or material or in any other realm. Every single need of every human being has been supplied through the sacrifice of the cross. Every. There is no other basis ultimately upon which God will meet our needs and do what needs to be done for us other than the cross. Without the cross, there's nothing. That's why it's so important that we learn to appropriate what was accomplished. We only have in our experience as much as we receive through the cross. The extent of what you and I are able to appropriate through the cross will be the extent of your spiritual experience and riches. That's a pretty heavy-duty statement. It's not mine. The extent of what you are able to appropriate through the cross will be the extent of your spiritual experience and riches. So when I sit, and you sit, and we read the word, and we take time, we say, Holy Spirit, teach me. When a revelation drops, and all of a sudden you go, ah, I never saw that before. That just became yours. And then when you walk it out by faith, it becomes flesh in your life. That is what I believe communion is doing for me. There's not any disease or sickness or grief or sorrow, sin and rebellion that wasn't dealt with on the cross. There's nothing that wasn't dealt with on the cross. In Corinthians 11:29-30, it gives one reason for weakness, sickness, and untimely death among God's people. And that reason is not discerning the Lord's body. The truth is, when we understand the place that communion is supposed to have in our lives, the power that it is to have in our lives, we walk in better health, and the Lord delights in it. We walk with blessing after blessing after blessing. In the past, we've been taught that if you feel you've sinned, you shouldn't take communion. The focus has been on judgment, not restoration. Yet he came to restore all things. So when we begin to look inward, which we're often told to do, not here, but look inward. See what sin you've committed before you take communion. Dig deep now. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to find if I start digging. Big time. And you know what happens? I get discouraged. I feel shame. I don't want to take communion anymore. Because I might get struck dead if I do. Because woe is me, I'm such a sinner. But when we've been overpowered by sin and plagued by guilt, that's when we need to be encouraged and have our ability to stand strengthened through the power of the blood of the Lamb. We overcome, that includes sin and weakness, by the blood of the Lamb. This is an incredible gift of love at his table. That's where we're set free. And we're empowered to be able to walk the way we're supposed to. The enemy wants to lie to us and keep us from the communion table. It's probably one of the biggest weapons we have and don't use. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I want to partake of that table, especially when the enemy is trying to convince me of a lie. But the price has been paid in full for our sins. And so when he says, oh, you can't take communion, you sinned. See? Because he's good at reminding us. We say, oh, thank you. Jesus paid for my sins and it's under the blood. I have said I'm sorry to Jesus. It's under the blood. 1 Corinthians 11:28-31. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Are you getting that? We're not discerning the Lord's body. Doesn't mean discerning one another. We're not discerning the power that is in that body because of a covenant relationship. We're not discerning it, and we're not appropriating what he's given to us. The word discern means to perceive, to recognize, to make out, to judge, to separate thoroughly, or to understand. We have failed to eradicate weakness and sickness from our lives simply because we failed to discern the Lord's body. Unworthy means, it speaks of partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily, treating it as a common meal, the bread and the cup as common things. That's what the Corinthians were doing. They were coming in, the rich first. They were eating everything that was there, not leaving anything for the poor and those that were hungry. They were getting drunk. They had moved very far from what Jesus had instituted. And Paul's bringing correction to them. What we haven't understood is that Jesus Christ has brought us into an irrevocable covenant which guarantees our wholeness. This is the covenant which has the signature of God on it. And God wants to discern us to discern that. We must separate the communion table from any other meal which we're having on earth. This covenant is a binding agreement between heaven and earth. It is what secured our wholeness. It is the binding of the nature and the form of God and the nature and the form of man. It's the binding of the nature of the form of God and the nature of man. When Jesus Christ becomes our Savior, his nature comes into us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. So one, capital O, is supernatural, and we are natural. The one is the strongest, and the other is the weakest. It is the coming together of the nature of God and the nature of man. It's crucial that we understand that we have a new DNA. We have to fight with that. We have to appropriate that. My DNA is now of my Heavenly Father. And my Heavenly Father, thank you, does not have leukemia, does not have cancer, does not have any of those diseases. And I have his DNA. So when I'm told, well, your mother had this and your great-grandmother had this and so-and-so had this, thank you, I cut that off. I have the DNA of Jesus and my Father. And I appropriate that in my life. And you may do it once and think, well, nothing happened. Keep doing it until it manifests. When you take antibiotics and you have faith to take that little pill, aren't we cute? It doesn't start right away. It takes a few days, usually, anyway. And sometimes you have to take it a long time, right? Well, the Lord's saying, take me and watch me work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So one's natural, one's supernatural. His life in us is released as by faith we receive what has been given to us. When we take communion, we exalt his word in our lives. Eat my body and drink my blood. The early church, you ever wonder about the early church, what they were like? Do you ever wonder what they were like? I do. Oh, gosh. It says they continued steadfastly in the breaking of the bread, Acts 2:42. Acts 27 says the disciples came together to break bread on the first day of the week. Is it possible that they understood clearly that by keeping this communion feast with the Lord would keep them strong and healthy to do his work? Communion is the key channel of health and wholeness. They were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit as they met, and that power was infused into them as they studied and as they broke bread. Remember, they had to learn everything. They had to take the words of Jesus and sit there. They didn't have a Bible. They looked at what Jesus had said as he brought things to remembrance. And revelation kept coming and kept coming. And as they worshiped together, power filled them to such a measure that what overshadowed Peter, which was the glory of the Lord, healed people. I want to walk down the street and be overshadowed by him so much, don't you? That people are healed. They may not know it right away, but something changes because there's so much of God in me and on me. Marguerite in the hospital, when you're not allowed to say anything, but you're full of the Holy Spirit, full of his power, full of his glory. Why not? Why are we shortchanging this so much? Why not in the workplace? Why not in the work nursing homes? Why not as you go into people's homes? Why not? Why not? Even if we can't say anything because we're restricted, that doesn't stop us from praying inside and releasing the glory wherever we go. Right? Every place we go to. If we've sat with him in the morning and we've worshiped him and we've received communion and we're full of him, why not take it out? Amen? Have you ever been in the presence of the Lord and then you go out and people walk by and look at you? It's like, actually turn around and look at you. And you think, took me a little bit to figure out what that was. And I thought, we've been in the presence. The glory is on us. And they recognize there's something different. Some difference. Paul states, 1 Corinthians 10, 15-16, I speak as wise men. Judge what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? There is a cup of blessing that Jesus wants to pour into us. Our Father is a good, good Father. He's given us everything. His body is for healing. It carries the force of heaven to heal every disease. The key for us is, do we believe in the covenant we have received? If weakness left the Israelites when they ate manna, and it says there were none feeble among them under the old covenant, and they walked like that for 40 years on manna, then shouldn't we expect much more? The taking the cup of wine and giving praises to the Father, he entered into covenant with them, saying, this is my blood. Each of you must drink it in fulfillment of the covenant, for this is the blood that seals the new covenant. It will be poured out for many for the complete forgiveness of sins. Matthew 26. Communion is the reminder that Jesus himself gave us the ultimate covenant. It is the body and blood that he shed. The word for covenant in Hebrew is berith. It is rooted in the word that means to cut or to eat. Within the expression cutting a covenant itself is the graphic depiction of how a covenant was made. When two individuals were cutting a covenant, And we've all read this in the scriptures. Abraham is our prime example. It included taking sacrificial animal and dividing the animal into pieces. The two parties would then walk through the sacred scattered carcasses, swearing an oath of allegiance in the midst of the path of blood. Aren't you glad we don't do that anymore? The two parties were making a public declaration that it would be preferable to be like the dismembered animal beneath their feet than to break the promise. Did you get that? That was for life, what they were doing. Each blood covenant was a promise of connection, protection, and provision. Like a marriage covenant where two people are joined in one, the blood covenant created a bond that was greater than all other relationships. So communion provides connection, protection, and provision for us. It provides face-to-face fellowship with us. It provides all we need, everything, and God's faithfulness that He'll never forsake us. We've become one with the Lord. He's in us. We're in Him. We're seated with Him in heavenly places. And He's seated on the throne. I mean, I could so much, but I'm going to stop in a couple of minutes here. I just want to read this one part. In the old covenant, there was always a covenant meal to seal the covenant that had been made. It was symbolic for them. The participants fed each other the bread and wine. The bread represented the body of the person making the covenant. As the bread was served, they would say, "All that I am is now coming into you." So they're saying this to each other. The wine represented the blood, which was the life of the person. The one serving the wine would say to the other, "This is my blood, my life, which is coming into you, and I will lay down my life on your behalf if necessary." The covenant meal was a solemn act. And Jesus did all of that in the new covenant. When we partake, His life is coming into us. We are fully taking into ourselves all that Christ represents. What Jesus Christ is what we are now. Have you ever considered that possibly this is a weapon we can use against the enemy when he wants to bring infirmity against us? Blessed means impartation, pray over. When Jesus gave the disciples the loaves and the fishes, He blessed it and it began to multiply in their hands. Because the law of the Spirit of life entered the bread and it kept growing. When we bless the cup, the law of the Spirit of life comes into that cup and it goes into us. We see the principle again at the Last Supper. There was an impartation of His life into that bread. Some translations say, "give thanks," but the original translation is blessing and impartation. When you eat by faith all that I am, life and light and power and glory, healing, wholeness, provision, health, favor, deliverance, all comes into you. It's yours. The last feast takes place in the book of Revelation. At the wedding feast of the Lamb, Revelation 19. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. History ends with another table, another meal, another feast. It began in the garden, and it ends at a wedding feast. When God restores everything and time is no more, he celebrates again with a communion meal, this time between a bride and a groom. It has always been, always will be, that communion is friendship, relationship, intimacy. Communion is for us to draw closer to him. And so I'm going to lead you in communion. If you need communion elements, please raise your hands. And I know that's a lot of, in some ways, to comprehend, but in other ways, it's not. I think my prayer for you is that you would begin to partake daily as husband and wife or at the supper table with your children and teach them the depth of what this is. Scripture is full of what it really is for us. The enemy is a sly fox. He makes it religious and it's something we do. And it loses its power to us. You know, I was pondering this morning as they're just handing out the elements there. I remember I would have been about 6 years old in Holland. And I was going to make my first communion. And we had to fast from the night before. I mean, it was a big thing. You get a little white dress and felt like a bride and, you know, special occasion. But for me, I remember as I was walking up that aisle to receive communion for the first time, I was totally impacted at the age of 6 of what I was about to receive. I don't know what it was, except when I received, I fell so in love with the Lord. And I know later on, because you look back and you think, Lord, did I know you back then? And I received a prophetic word from William Hildreth. And he said, the Lord wants you to know. And he pointed out the occasions that you knew me then already. You've loved me for a long time already. And I thought, Lord, that communion for me at the age of 6 was so powerful that it impacted my life. And there's a hunger in me to find out in the Word, Lord, what is the depth of this? And Lord, I want faith to be able to sit by myself and appropriate it. And I want faith to sit with my brothers and sisters in unity together. And I want to appropriate it. I wish we could have done it in the middle of that glorious worship. There's something so profound today. And so, Lord, we take the bread and the wine, the body and the blood, and we pray blessing over it. We bless it today. We bless it today. Let every spiritual blessing that you have, Daddy, every blessing you have for us, come into your children. Father, for every need that is sitting in this room, Lord, every need that is sitting in our households, Lord, what that which is in our hearts that we haven't even articulated, that Jesus, you can see. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're well able to meet that in this moment as we reach in by faith. It may be the healing of immune disorders. It may be that you're standing for cancer. It may be you're standing for diabetes, heart disease, emotional problems, anxiety, problems with your home, your family, problems with the law, problems with school situations. The Lord says, I know it all. He said, I was a body. I was the bread that was broken. I broke my life so you could have it. And as you partake, receive, which I freely want to give to you. So let's partake. Lord, we thank you for the cup of the covenant. Thank you, Lord. The wine represents the blood, which was the life of the person. The one serving the wine would say to the other one drinking, this is my blood, my life, which is coming into you. And I will lay down my life on your behalf if necessary. Lord, this is your blood coming into us. And Lord, you've already laid down your life for us. And Lord, you promise us you'll never leave us nor forsake us. It is a radical commitment. And we commit ourselves to you as we partake. Let's all partake. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for restoring us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.